Episode 341, January 15th, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Firehall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
It's our first guest, Joe Robinson, our first guest in the brand new studio, soon to be our murder mystery co-star from Nobody Likes Onions, Mr. Patrick Belton joins us.
Hi.
I feel sort of bad because Patrick has a studio that looks like something that would be like in some huge New York City radio station where they have...
Yeah, it's video.
Yes. Very, you know, top of the line. And then, so I think our studio is nice, but then when he comes here, it's like, you know, if you have a nice Honda Accord, but he's got a Maserati, he doesn't really care about your heated seats so much.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this, if you came and looked at the studio, you'd realize very quickly it's just as duct taped together as anything else in the world. There's nothing fancy about it.
About this studio?
No, or about your mine. Studio.
Like, because I knew that about ours.
Everything is just, everything is just shit everywhere. Can you say that?
Yeah.
We're just trying to make it work.
But you have, you know, one of the things is you have no producer.
Yeah.
And you have an aptitude for how this stuff works. So we have some people that have a little bit of aptitude, but they still get mad at us for not, you know.
They also have an attitude for this.
Yes, they have, yeah. They have both. And they get mad if anything changes, then somehow we are responsible for that which we cannot explain.
Yeah,
Does that make any sense?
The aptitude level is up to like 4. The attitude level is always turned to 10.
Yes, the attitude always a 10.
And I can vouch that it's not your fault because I'm the only one who touches my stuff, and I come in and there'll be a camera not working or software not working or the boards, I got to adjust something for no... For some reason now, all the mics just need to be at a different level to sound right. And no one knows why. There's a ghost in the machine.
But at the end of the day, our sound is still 1,000 times better than what it used to be, so thank you. And people have said that. We've got a lot of good compliments, so thank you, guys. As you know, we, myself, Patrick, Tommy Sambazo, Eric Woodworth, leave this Wednesday for 2 weeks. We're going... Actually, I don't think I'm really allowed to say, although we've said it in the past, because when Armed Forces Entertainment posts, like, somebody actually asked them on Facebook, like, they posted the show, like, where's it coming to? Well, it's security. We can't let you know.
Right.
So we're going to Kuwait, Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, and Djibouti, Africa.
But we're not allowed to post anything while we're in locations.
I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to give us a speech about that. And maybe it's so much the bases. Like, now I know the bases we're going to, but I mean,
Have you ever gotten in trouble?
I've gotten, no, but we've been told not to do that.
It's a first for everything.
We've been told not to say where you're at.
Have you ever?
So Southwest Asia is where we're going.
You've never done anything during one of these trips that you weren't supposed to do that somebody said, hey, you know, you're not allowed to do that. Not necessarily, you know, you were reprimanded, but they said, oh, that thing you did, don't do that again.
I've never not done something they told me not to do.
Yeah, I feel like I've definitely been dirtier than I was supposed to be, but I've always been on a show where I wasn't going to be the dirtiest. So whoever was going to get, whoever they're going to get mad at for being dirty wasn't going to be me. It's like if I'm driving 70, but this guy's driving 80, they're not going to look at me.
They're going to get mad at Carrot Top.
Exactly. That son of a bitch. We do a lot of shows for the troops, me and the top. So
you're the bottom.
Yes.
Carrot bottom.
Carrot bottom is like.
That'd be a good actual parody. It's up to you guys now. All right.
Yeah, we'll work it into the murder mystery.
It's just a residency in Vegas right across the street.
So the way we started with Patrick, if you guys don't remember, if you're not a longtime listener, is back when Patrick and I both got selected to this Comedy Central. Up Next was the name of it, I believe.
Yeah, it was their big new contest they were really proud of that they ran for a year.
Right, big deal. And we made it to, I guess, what would be considered like a regional final.
Yeah, just, whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever. I keep making it sound better than it was. But
sounds official.
Yeah, but online we sort of, you know, we were just searching to see who, because they posted who made it. And we were in different locations. I was in Boston, you were in Tampa, right?
I was somewhere. In L.A. at the time.
But, I mean, your spot, your where
oh,
you
I had
competed.
To go compete in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay,
yeah.
So Fort Lauderdale. But anyway.
Because they told us to use this hashtag and to, like, start hyping up the contest.
Yeah, and I noticed that you, I was doing it, like, the third most of anybody, but that was, like, 30 posts. And you had, like, 30,000.
Nowhere near that.
But you
sure.
had an active, you had they really helped following you. Yeah. I was impressed. I was a little let down by your comedy, but because I thought, this guy has this many fans. Yeah. He's got to be amazing. But yeah, he's just really good.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. But he...
Did you guys follow this show to see who... Like, the person that made it from your...
Yes.
Regional.
No, I think Ali Sadiq won it.
Yes, he did win it, and he headlines now. And I remember talking about his set that they aired that he won. To me, it seemed like he was just phoning it in because it was all white people in the audience. He wasn't even trying.
Yeah,
and that his jokes, I thought it was horrendous. And I was like, well, he can't win, and then he wins, obviously.
I remember the guy who won the semi-regional or whatever the thing was that I did. I had some, like, NLO fans, my podcast, come out, and one of them got really drunk. And the guy who won had done a Cosby joke on stage, a literal Cosby joke. And I wish I could remember, but it was up there with, like, the Hi Mom. It was, like, a joke that everybody knows. And, after the show was over, we're hanging out like the Comedy Central executives and stuff, drinking because they took us all out and stuff. And this guy, fan of mine, goes up to the guy who won. He's like, "You know, you're doing Cosby stuff." Like, just starts busting it, and I'm just like, "This is so cringe, but also so amazing." Because the guy's sitting right in front of a Comedy Central executive, just a random guy who was at the show, comes up and goes like, "Them were Cosby jokes. You suck." Like,
well,
I'm
they
just
should
like,
know
wow.
better, right?
Yeah, they should. This guy didn't win though, right?
That guy had won previously NBC's Stand Up for Diversity already, and then he went on and he was on a sitcom.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, no, he's a real good-looking guy, very polished. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tone look. So
Tone.
So that's how our paths crossed, and then there was this argument that we had with someone on my show, on my heat, whatever. Location, Cliff Cash.
Yeah.
And
then, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah.
He threatened to kick your ass.
He was
going
to come to L.A. and beat me up. He was like, he was so annoyed at nothing. And that's how you could tell he was a new comic, because he was getting so riled up about, like, you clearly have never had no online hate if you're this mad about nothing.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. If you say that somebody's not funny, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't.
Right.
I mean, but to say that, you would literally think you're calling their mother a whore.
Well, to a lot of comics.
No, yeah, I get that. That's their livelihood.
I mean,
get
look
that.
At Michael Richards, how he snapped. And he's a pro.
All right.
That's what that guy said to him, right? You're not funny.
Yeah.
Shit,
and then he just lost
for
it.
Shit.
And there's then,
a clip of me.
Of course, the famous Dan Ninen stuff where you actually had Dan on your...
He had me on there, too. I thought he bullied me a little bit.
Well, he was in the studio with you in New York City.
Yeah, because he was trying to
appear...
Which
you guys told me not to do.
Yeah, I think it was a bad idea.
And now you
had
to move.
I can't believe I got him. Yeah. I got him to come out for 3 hours.
It was a huge gig.
He is delusioned to... And he's done this a bunch of times. He went on, not Opie and Anthony, but whatever iteration that is. And... He believes, because he's, you know, he's not self-aware, that he is going to be able to win you over.
Right.
That's the reason that he came, because he thought, I'm going to somehow maneuver my way through this, right. and I'm going to become believable. But of course, anybody who has any intelligence at all, they see through it. But yeah, that's
not
the reason
OJ. He doesn't have charm.
Yeah. He really thought he was. He thought he was going to come in with evidence. Remember, he had like spreadsheets.
Yes, right.
So, like he kept bringing his laptop out.
Because there's one part of his story that's probably true, and he would always go back to that.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, did you steal that car? Okay, but let's go back to that time where they said I was 20 minutes late. Yeah. Here I am. Here's my proof that I showed up. And...
But you've seen me in cars. You know, you've yes. seen me in cars. So,
you know, it's weird. Like, I think about his career has to have been affected by this negative exposure he's gotten. I mean, if anybody uses any responsibility in their hiring practices, they're going to Google him. Here's the deal. Normally, I would feel bad about that. Yeah. I would feel bad that I caused somebody work. But all his work was based on this manipulation and lies in order for him to trick people into hiring him.
Well, this goes back to what we were kind of talking about earlier in the car. Like, there's so many people who think this goes to show you how none of this stuff matters. Like, you could have the YouTube and the Twitter and the, like you were saying, like, I got a website and business cards. And it's like no one's paying attention to any of that. It really is. They're not. The fact that corporations are spending tens of thousands of dollars to hire this man and no one's bothered to Google him.
Yeah, like yes, it is.
It goes to show you, like, none of this matters. None of it matters. Who
it's
was
criminal.
There? Who was there in your face when you were booking comedy? I'll hire that guy. It's fine.
I'm 74, and I'm gay.
Okay, I don't know what that was.
Great.
So
somebody got a sound.
So now,
now he's had it. And that's so the one thing we've always had.
And now we are doing this murder mystery together. So I want to say to you, Joe, back, I think this is 4.5 years where our paths first crossed. What would have been more unlikely that at the time that you would, because you just started Katie then, right? Started dating Katie?
It had to be near that when you were
that. Katie.
Started Katie.
Yeah, because I was living in the place that I was living when I started dating Katie when that happened.
So here in 2018, you and Katie would own a home together.
Uh-huh.
Patrick would be your first house guest. A guy you've never met. You never heard. Right. Or we'd be gearing up to do our murder mission that didn't exist
in Africa.
He's met
me before now. Let's make it clear.
But at the time, yeah.
Well, I mean, what would be the most likely? I guess a guy that I'd never met before is now my first house guest.
Right.
If you said to me four years ago,
you'll
right
have
now.
A new friend in 4 years?
Well, no, not that.
That's not a crazy.
Have you hung out with him?
It's not as unbelievable as you think. But if you said the first house guest that you have in a house that you buy with this girl you first started dating is going to be somebody you've never met before.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be so unlikely because I'd never met her family before.
Yeah, we could all pretty much do that now with our lives. Go, like, in 4 years, we'll all be doing something that we can't even imagine now. Like, yeah, that's pretty common.
Pretty sure I'll be down there watching TV.
Good point.
So
alone.
Okay. Well, how about this? When we first started the murder mystery, which is literally 3 years ago, I was looking at our emails. We were writing The Last Laugh.
Right now, oh yeah,
yeah.
When you gave up on stand-up.
We gave up on stand-up. Well, Joe, he did that probably 10 years ago.
Yes, I can't give it up.
Before he ever got on stage.
Exactly. So
I can't wait to get back on stage and tell
and
these
do,
new fresh jokes.
Do crowd work. Call some strange woman a whore. I can't wait to do that. Yeah, I've been
couldn't
working on this.
Couldn't give it away my best material.
It's your opener right out of the gate. But no, like I would think that if we would have said, hey, 3 years from now, you're going to be performing in 6 different comedy clubs, we would probably accept that as a successful venture.
Yeah.
Well, now we're about to have done 6 countries here in a second. 3 continents. How the fuck has this happened?
I don't know. Probably.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, it's
comedy
not.
Comedy is easy.
Maybe
do
it
you
is.
Think
it's a relationship. You get in with one thing and you just and you ride it for life.
It really is just come up with an idea and really work at it. Like,
yeah.
It's, that's the world.
You're right.
People are lazy.
You
comics are lazy.
100%. When
I've never tried at anything.
Whenever somebody comes up with an idea, I'm always like, well, it doesn't matter if it's a good idea or not. Are you going to try to execute it?
Right.
That's the key. We actually did this.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I've never done anything before. This was the first thing I've ever done.
And I'll just say on paper, as a pure stand-up comic, what you guys are doing is hella gay.
Yes. No,
that's
not you're the
murder
first person
mystery
to say
comedy?
That.
Wait till you see the
nerds.
Show.
Nerds.
Yes.
Nerds.
Oh, we had thought we were so cool up until you said that.
But I know you're killing it. I know you're slaying it. I see how many of them you're doing. It's fun. Everybody seems to enjoy it. You guys say that people leave there, everyone
loves
it. Oh,
they go crazy.
It.
They love it. Oh, well, here's the thing.
So if it doesn't go well, it's you this time.
When people come, there are some people that come to see it like, oh, a murder mystery.
And if it goes better, I don't want to hear about it.
And the people that come, they think they're just seeing a murder mystery. We have to win them, meaning they did not come to see what we're doing.
Right.
So they have to kind of say, all right, this is not what I wanted to see. Now, by the way, we've lost people. As soon as they hear their first F and what an F, yeah, they're gone. But there are some people, like, the, remember when we went did that show on the Eastern Shore and there was that old couple that was in the balcony?
Yes.
The Muppets?
That's correct. You met those two old guys, right? They are cloth. No, but they hated us. They despised us, and you had to kind of just wring them out until we won them over. I say we, I mean Justin.
Yeah, basically. Well, the thing is that's a little scary about this is there's always the newness because people don't know what to expect. But when we did this in Jordan, A had already been there, so I knew the guy, I knew the whole groundwork, I knew the venue, the stage, the setup. And then we were there 2 days before doing different shows, building up goodwill. So now we just got to come in fresh, and they're going to be like, they're not going to know what's happening. But the advantage is they're going to show up for it because it's different and it's new, and right, they got nothing else to do.
There's a lot of pressure.
That's how we succeed. Yes. Captive audiences. Yes.
There's a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
You're going to be doing, because it's not like, you know, Eric and Tommy are going to be like, how can we help? That's not going to happen. Patrick's probably in the same
zone. No, I'm going to help.
No, but you're going to, a lot is going to fall on you. Do you think that you'll be in an argument with somebody over the course of the next 2 weeks?
Of one of the cast members?
Mm-hmm. It's not impossible.
No, I don't think we'll have, I might say something that I'm having an issue with, but I don't think that there's, it'll lead to an argument. I mean,
fast forward 2 weeks.
Four people together, tired, every day with pressure. There'll be an argument.
Yeah.
There will be an
plus
argument.
Plus all the pranks I'm going to be playing around.
I will get tired of that. Right. Yeah. Well, because we've already sort of talked about this, and I can see that it could be leading to an issue.
Good.
Where we're going, we have one particular flight situation, which is horrible, where we leave like real early in the morning, and we fly from, it's a short flight initially, I think.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Fly
we have a
world.
9-hour layover in Kenya,
in Nairobi.
I heard that place is hopping.
So I can already tell that
you're gonna
do an adventure.
Yeah.
And I get that, but I also...
It's 9 hours.
Yeah, but it isn't 9 hours, because it's going to be 2 hours to clear customs. You've got to buy a visa.
Oh, yeah. It's not, it's not 9 hours when you do the conversion.
Rob wants you to have an airport experience. An airport adventure.
Rob and you're going to be real tired.
Rob wants to hang in the massage parlor lounge.
I've looked at the airport.
Sharp
they have Ravage. They just... a makeover. It's like this our studio. It's
I feel
brand
like
new.
Everything you ask for in that airport, they're going to answer, Nairobi. Get it because you're Rob.
I get it. That was save it for the show. So I'm going to want to just go in a lounge and try to sleep, and you guys are going to want to go see a safari, basically.
No, somebody said safari. That's not what I want to do at all.
What do you want to do?
Poke the locals.
Okay, but can't we do that in an airport? Because you realize you have to go through customs. You got to buy a visa. Then you got to come back and redo
You're
that whole thing.
You're talking to a guy that when he has a 3-hour layover in London, I talk a friend into coming out to the airport. I exit through the border force, enter into the UK, have dinner, get drunk, and then try to scramble to my plane back through security in 35 minutes. I like an adventure.
Well, that story doesn't make me feel better. So
good. Rob is so uncomfortable good. Right
yes.
I did miss my flight when I did that.
I was saying, have you missed a flight?
But it wasn't my fault. It was this dumb woman. I'm giving her the flight number. She's like, we don't have a flight to New York tonight. I'm like, you do.
Well, you got to factor
yeah.
that in. Rob has that factor.
It took her 10 minutes to find the ticket, and then she's like, oh, it's too late to go now. I'm like, well, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Do you think there might be an idiotic person at the gate in Kenya?
I wouldn't show up 35 minutes right. before the flight.
You wouldn't do
Nairobi.
That.
What time would you...
45 minutes.
Yeah, no, but in dead seriousness, what time... How much time would you be comfortable with?
I have to assess the airport.
Because I want to know matches Rob's time.
Well, if I look out and the security line is 3 hours long, then it's not worth it. But if I look out, I'm the guy who, like, when I land, if I have a... hour and a half layover, I'd look at the security line and go, like, yeah, I can go out and have a cigarette and get back in.
Okay.
And it's fine. And I talk to the TSA. I'll go, like, hey, what's the average wait around this time? And they'll be like, 15 minutes.
The African
cool.
guy? Yeah. Is he going to... I mean,
Yeah, we just click at each other.
Do you know what they speak in Kenya?
No.
Neither do I. Look.
Can you speak it?
I like an adventure. Look, you're talking to a guy that, like...
9 hours is a long time, Rob. I don't know what you're saying.
It is a long time.
One time Rob did a whole crossword book.
To be tired. You're not...
You're talking to me like I've never been on a big boy trip.
This is going to be a grind.
Take a buddy with you wherever you
can.
Yeah.
Well, Eric and Tommy will do whatever. But, like, for example, when we went to Jordan, Sean was like, I think you're now Sean, said that, hey, I know somebody in Amman or that had some bar. We should go there when we get there. I'm like, you know, it's going to be like 20 hours.
Yeah.
You're going to be tired when you get there. And, of course, he goes
right
to his
room.
You know,
Rob's not into fun.
Well, no, I ended up drinking in our contact's suite, and then I got end up throwing up all night by the toilet sleeping.
I should make it clear. I don't want to do anything irresponsible that's going to get us in trouble or anything like that, but I think if we have 9 hours, I think we should definitely leave that airport. I think we should definitely not hop on some touristy thing, and we should just go out and wander. In the restaurants, bars, drink, kick up some dirt, flip over some rocks.
I want to do that.
I want to click with the locals.
But I also know if I'm stressed about us being stranded in Kenya, that I'm not going to be able to enjoy myself.
With 9 hours, you could go out and come back with three to spare, and you'd still have 6 hours.
See, I'm curious where Joe and Robbie think about this, because
I'm not.
We're probably going to hear it anyway.
Robbie's closer to me in terms of being kind of a control freak, but where do you land on this?
Well, honestly, I'm very grateful that I'm not there.
So are we all.
Because that shit would stress me out.
Yeah.
But I probably would be less stressed than you. The biggest argument you and I have ever had in our lives was about preparedness that I thought you thought was unnecessary. That I thought was unnecessary.
On the show.
Yeah, yeah. So I probably wouldn't be as concerned. I was literally Googling imaging Kenya's nightlife. I was hoping to see some sort of hut, but it was actually bars and shit.
Well, we're there
like
in
that.
The middle of the day, so I don't think that's going to matter.
They party 24/7.
It's like Kenya. It's the Vegas of
Africa. You ever been to Bourbon Street? Well.
Robbie, where do you land on this?
Oh, I'm totally like you, Rob. That's why I'm going to be over here stateside laughing about this whole thing.
Yeah. I don't like it when me and Robbie agree, though. That makes me
Listen, Robbie.
Yeah, enjoy
Robbie's
life in your comfortable xenophobic bubble.
Robbie's going to have to take a little shit. He sent me an email today.
Oh, boy.
I said that Vince Gill, I read it, that Vince Gill was in the Pure Prairie League, and Robbie said, not at this time.
What? I don't know what.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
And I never thought anything of it. Today, Robbie sends me an email confirming that he was right. This was on the 24th of December. You understand what I'm saying? He held on to it for 21 days and then emailed me about it. But that's not what takes the cake. What takes the cake is a conversation between Rob and Robbie regarding audio on the show. Can I talk about that?
Yeah. Between me and Robbie?
About the Oscar walk-off music.
Okay.
Okay, let me see if I can actually find it because Rob sent it to me. But Rob says to Robbie, can you send me the file of the Oscar walk-off music? Now, Patrick, you just sat down. Do you know what Oscar walk-off music is? Do you have an idea of or guess what it is?
Yes.
What do you think it is?
When someone's taking too long giving
a speech,
they're going to
start
playing the music.
Anybody in the world would know this. Okay. Anybody in the world would know this. But Robbie,
we'll find out when we go to Kenya. We'll be asking this
man
question.
On the street.
Yeah.
What do you hear?
He's got to correct. He's got to, right? I'm trying to find it. I hope I don't know that I can.
I wasn't correcting. I literally never heard the term
Robbie's
walk-off
probably
music
what
before.
The actors listen to before they go on stage. That's just trying to get their head straight, right?
He's
walk it off.
He says,
I have it.
Can I have the Oscar walk-off music? Robbie, knowing goddamn well what he means,
no.
Wants to correct him. Hold on, you can get your thoughts out. If I'm wrong, then, well, I'm not.
We'll get into it. I'm an impartial judge.
Robbie puts, please elaborate. I don't know the reference of the audio which you are referring. Now, he fucking knows. Okay?
No,
he
did not.
But he wants to make sure that Rob knows he's not saying the right
term. First of all, who talks like that, Alexa? I do not know
the
reference of the audio you're referring
he
to.
He knows exactly. By the way, do you know how many Oscar-related audio clips we have for The Murder Mystery? Do you know how many we have?
No.
We have one.
Yeah, that's one.
We have one. If he could have said, could you want to do the, give me, send me the Oscar clip about fucking a baby, it's the same clip. It's the only Oscar clip that exists.
Right. Hey, who's that guy Patrick that was on your show as a guest in the studio? Can you elaborate? Oh, the only Patrick we've ever had, Patrick Mountain. How about that?
Anyway, it was clear what he was saying. It was also clear that Robbie, in my opinion, you tell me, Robbie.
Can I please defend myself now?
Yes.
Let me work backwards. First, I was at work, my mind was so far away from that clip from the murder mystery. I swear to you, I never heard the term walk-off music before.
Yes, I got that.
And I swear I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought about it, and I was like, what could he be referring to?
Hold on. What are you, retarded?
Just listening. Here's what I'll say. Just listening to his voice, I tend to believe him. It sounds honest. But the fact that it was an email and not an actual in-person conversation means you had time to process.
And I did.
It's not like on the phone where you're like, hey, send me the Oscar walk-out music. Yes. What Oscar walk-out music? Because that would be acceptable.
Of course. You've processed the whole thing.
Yes.
By the way,
how long was the reply? Can you tell?
Can
you
see? I can't. It would have to be on his, but it's going to be seconds. But yeah.
Well, then that helps him out. If it's an hour, then it helps you out.
No, it was maybe 5-10 minutes.
This is what I'm thinking. 5-10 minutes, jeez.
Well, I was at work, Joe.
I wasn't concentrating on murder mystery audio.
I understand.
We know your priorities.
Even if it's unconscious, is that the right way to say that? Even if it's not deliberate, is it possible that when you were asked to do something, when you were busy with something else, that agitated you? Is that possible?
No, I swear.
Because you sound agitated right now.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
I wasn't upset. I just didn't understand what he was talking about. That's it.
I love the idea of a Robbie Alexa. Can you imagine? Hey, Robbie, should I watch Homeland? What? That's a stupid show. You'll never like it. It's so unrealistic. That's not really how the CIA is.
I don't even know what that is.
Alexa, play Hotel California by the Eagles. That's probably their worst song. I'm going to play you New Kid in Town.
No. Apparently he'd say, do you mean the football team or the band?
Oh, did you mean Eagles? Because they don't go by the Eagles.
What hotel?
I'll play it anyway, Dick.
What hotel do the Eagles stay in when they play in California?
I am so confused. Please reword your question.
All right, let's take a break.
Wait, I want to defend myself on the other thing.
No.
Turn Alexa off, Robbie. Go ahead, defend yourself.
It was just kidding. Let's take a break.
Be right back, Robin Joe Show.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, Friday, January 26th at Amp by Strathmore in Bethesda. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Okay, Robbie, Alexa, defend yourself.
Christmas Eve, we're having a conversation about music with our brother-in-law, which we do frequently when we're all together. We're talking about music. And Joe mentioned that Vince Gill was in the Pure Prairie League. And I said, yeah, but he wasn't there for their biggest hit, Amy. And Joe was like, no, he was. Like, Joe got indignant about and corrected me. And I didn't have all the facts at that time.
Hold on, let me jump in just a little bit. He's right. I go, I just read it. I go, you know what? I might be wrong about this. I even said that at the end, Robbie.
Right, you did. And I didn't have all the facts at the time.
Well, you didn't need them. I just conceded.
And then later on, today, when I wrote that email, I'd heard when he joined the Pure Prairie League, and I looked it up, and I said, oh, look at that. And I knew that he had another hit
song on the Pure Prairie League.
When did he have time to do all this between writing Breaking Bad and Vince Gilligan, guys?
When did Robbie have time to do it? He's too busy crafting terse emails and text.
It was fresh in my mind. I wasn't holding on to it. It just was fresh in my mind when he joined, and so I said, let me go look that up, and then I wrote you. That's it.
Well, you got me. I don't know shit about Pure Prairie League.
I never heard of Pure Prairie League. But I'm still on this that you were literally thinking about Oscar's walk-off music.
Music when they walk off the stage.
I don't know.
Is that a Pure Prairie League song?
For a moment, I thought you were talking about Oscar Santana. I swear to you.
Okay. What? The
Big O and Dukes?
I thought you were talking about that wiener.
I thought, Oscar, yeah. The Grouch from Sesame Street. What are you guys?
What? He doesn't have to
even walk. He lives in a trash can.
So, Joe, you mentioned the possibility of me getting into an argument. Rank the most likely that I would get into this argument between Tommy, Eric, and Patrick.
Rob, okay. Before we go any further, Rob has one piece of pink glitter on his temple, and I have to know, what were you doing before you came here?
I don't know. Do I? Is it? What's going on in this?
Who
in this
sat
sound
on your face?
Stage?
And what were they doing?
You have pink glitter on. I don't see.
You said one piece of pink glitter, but now it's gone.
All right.
Fucking a child. Huh? Anyway, okay. So back
going down
what,
on a child.
Is
like
that
an,
what
I'm
comes
just.
Out?
All I do is follow the clues.
So, Joe?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. So
maybe
here we
should
go.
Write a new kind of mystery comedy.
I think that anybody would agree at the order. The order is number one, Tommy.
Okay.
Because he has I literally have been having conversations with him about, you know, calming him down in some completely other issue.
Sure.
So he gets upset. He's passionate. You know, I love him, mm-hmm. but he is the most easily quick to, what's the word I'm looking for? You know,
yeah, I understand.
Pissed off. Right.
Boil.
Thanks. Number two would be Patrick.
Yeah.
Because he has more of a don't give a fuck attitude.
I'll take silver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric would be last.
Yeah. Eric would be hard. It would be hard to get in an argument with him because he would just whatever. He's pretty easygoing.
But if you tell me right now, are you in an argument over under 50%? I'd say over.
Okay. Well, then
really?
Why? Really?
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, why do you say that, Robbie?
I like that it started before we left.
Yeah, thanks for planting that seed. That's going to help the trip go better.
Because it just sounds like a grind, grueling thing. I mean, of course you're going to be, your defenses are going to be down. You're going to be so tired. Of course I think tensions are going to build.
I heard the audio booths are tiny. Yeah. You know, that pisses Robbie off.
Well, maybe I'll get in an argument with Robbie. Well, somehow.
Oh, by the way, if Robbie was going, it's 100%. Oh. There's literally no way to avoid an argument.
We
will
get one on the car ride over. We wouldn't even get to the airport yet.
Uber? I told you, I like Lyft.
Well, we'll keep you posted. Have you figured out? Because it's funny, because we talked about Tawanda coming on with Gramps, and I keep throwing the idea out there, and she laughs because it's funny. But then when it gets to commit, that's when she changes the subject. So I'm not feeling too confident.
I thought you guys were phasing Gramps out.
No. No, she's talking about Tawanda. No, it's funny you said that. Gramps. Well,
no, we're phasing him in more.
Yeah, Gramps is in chat.
I know. I just said that to
him. I know.
To upset him.
He texted.
What is he talking about? I'm the first guest.
He texted me today and he said, "Hey, what do you think I'm going to be doing the show around the blah, blah, blah?" Now, the problem is I don't know when he's going to be on, but he comes to me and then I feel pressure to give him an answer of something that I don't.
What do you mean? You decide.
I know that, but I don't know I need to know when Justin's available.
Okay.
I don't know if Tawana's going to be doing, which right. Now I know she's not.
Well, I think she would like to, but then when I get to get her to, I need an answer, and then it somehow we drift away from the topic.
You can't just say, hey, I need an answer.
She doesn't want to.
That's what it
like,
sounds
like. If you
like.
Want to do something, you do
yes.
it.
Are we talking about getting married? What are you talking about?
It's like the thing, you know, guys and girls. Like, he's not calling me. It's like, if you wanted, he's not busy. If he wanted to hang out with you,
right.
He'd hang out with you.
He's
you're
just
right.
not that into you. We're going to do
right.
a whole murder mystery about
that. Tawanda's odds get hilarious.
Greg Barrett coming at you.
He's our third guest.
No, but that's okay. I'll just find, you know, somebody else to sit in here with Gramps. By the way, everybody that I would have on is gone.
Yeah.
So Justin said he's going to come in here 1 week.
Can't count on that.
No, I can count on Justin. He'll do that. But then the other week?
Do you want to talk about the party Saturday night with Justin? Is that allowed to talk about?
I don't know what there is to talk
about. The door being left wide open?
Well, yeah, I don't know what a story that is, but it's
that's
just...
That's the story. Yeah.
Yeah. You just buried the lead right
damn
there.
It.
Justin fell asleep at the house, and when he woke up, he left the door open. That's the story. But...
It's only your new house, probably, you know.
He left the door, like open?
Yes, he physically, that's funny, because I had to make sure that I made that clear.
Not
that,
unlocked. Open.
No, he left it open.
Ajar.
And I was like, well, you probably shouldn't have driven, right? If you didn't know to pull the door closed.
That's a good sign.
It's not like he had a bunch of shit with him that he was trying to, oh, I can't remember my keys.
It's easy
and
to leave a garage door open.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Like, it's
yes,
not
I've
easy.
Done it.
It's not easy, but it happens.
I've right. done it in a brand new house. I didn't have a garage.
Because
so.
Most people don't lock the door that goes into their house from their garage ever, really.
Right.
Like, you kind of just shut the garage right. door. And I've done that, where I've woken up and the garage was open all night, and you're like, oh, shit, anybody could have just walked in.
Well, so we survived.
Did you tell him that he did this?
I did, but more as a joke, like, you probably shouldn't have driven. But I'll look at my Genie bill, however much higher it is than I think it should be. I'll bill him for that. Take it out of the murder mystery money.
Can we talk about the middle name debacle? But I
yeah, well, let me tell you what I thought the story was. And by the way, I thought this was the story because that's what this is originally yes. what Rob told me. But it was a pretty big deal. You put Patrick's yeah. middle name is Herman.
Yes.
I like that.
Patrick Herman Melton, when really your middle name is
Alan.
Is Alan. Okay.
It's pretty basic to get the names right.
It would have probably been easier for me to actually change my middle name to Herman.
I think it would have been.
No, yes. Does Patrick, you know how much this mistake cost us?
No, I got
it. You want to take a guess? This.
Cost you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, me.
Wow. No, but I want to know now.
Throw a figure out there.
$1,200.
No, Jesus. It was $300, which I thought was excessive, but it cost $300. But originally when Rob said why he put your middle name as Herman, he said he doesn't know why. It just popped in his head. Like, I had thought, until he figured out where it came from, that he had imagined what he thought your middle name should be.
And it fits, though.
And he convinced himself.
Like Pee-wee Herman, Patrick Herman.
And actually,
Herman
the person whose middle name it really is, fits as much as Patrick.
It was the guy that was going to go on the trip before it got moved to another date. This guy, Todd Rex. Now everyone knows his middle name.
Yeah. Never wrote his career.
Damn it. T. Herman Rex. That's not
fuck
a cool
that
name.
Guy.
Well, career was ruined. So yeah, I was actually freaking out. I've been freaking out a lot. Like the packing is more complicated because I have to bring, I'm worried, do I need to bring some cords? I have to bring all these autograph cards that are super heavy. I've got to bring the koozies. I'm dressing, you know. I wear a sport coat for the murder mystery, so that's harder thing to pack. And then do I dress it? How hot's it going to be?
Hey,
the weather?
Do you have your airport waiting outfit? Or
I do. I have my airport lounge.
Half the things you've said are anything you would do for a regular trip. You're like, I'm going to have to dress for this trip. Look at the weather.
I bring it belts.
See what the weather's like.
I know.
Dress appropriately.
It's hard.
I'm going to have to eat meals.
Yes, and I'm going to look. Once I realize I screwed up your name, I'm questioning everything now. Every time they
do
send
I even
me something,
do comedy?
Yeah,
is this even real?
Am I dreaming this?
It's almost gotten to that point where I'm triple, quadruple checking. Wait a minute, is Eric's? Is it K or CK Eric? Like I've seen it 1,000 times,
yes.
And now I'm having to double check. I'm going to his Facebook. I'm looking at everything.
It is funny because sometimes I feel like I'm in the Matrix. Like when I see like my girlfriend's Katie. I'm like, is this really happening? Is that how you are with this murder mystery?
Last night I'm freaking out because I want to go to charge my electric razor and I can't find it. And then I think I put it in this other bag that I actually threw out. I'm about to go outside. By the way, you know where it was? Charging. I'd already put it in there to charge. I'd already done the thing I was worried about.
Are you a list maker?
That's actually on my list to do is make a list. And I haven't done it.
Don't forget that razor. You don't want to go out on stage with a beard.
Loser.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell Patrick, tell us about your thoughts listening to last week's show.
I was listening to last week's show, and I genuinely felt when Rob brought up, he's like, oh, I've been hounding Patrick to give me this photo. They needed like a plain photo of us. And we all sent joke ones, and then I sent one, and I kind of forgot about it that I thought would be fine. And then you wanted another one, and it took me a little while to get, and I genuinely felt bad. You're like, Patrick, I was waiting on this photo. And and I did drop the ball on that, and I do feel bad, and I'm sorry about that. And then Joe, as if to pile on with just, I have nothing, but I'm going to make a mountain.
Yeah.
Hashtag me too in it. Just goes, yeah, and is he going to, like come out with that beard?
So
like, what
the way
world?
You're describing
like,
it.
Half the people have facial hair.
The way he's describing it, it's 100% true. I have no defense.
Yeah, really, I mean,
literally, it's like, where am I going
to
go?
Listen to it. It's
yeah.
He's like, oh, is he going to wear T-shirts?
God,
like,
by the way, when I took a shot for no reason, just for no reason, my brother back in the studio, he'd probably like, yes, fuck that guy. He loves that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I was trying to please Robbie. I don't know. Maybe it was where you came up with Herman.
I don't know, but you've planted two seeds now that you don't like his facial hair, that you think I'm going to be arguing with the guys.
Wait till I come in here in the night and just unplug and replug everything.
It probably worked better.
So, Robbie, you'll appreciate this. It drives me crazy, but you'll like it. So, Saturday night, I'm at the DC Improv Lounge. We're doing this comedy kumite competition, which I'll get to in a second. But myself and Ramin and this guy Umar Khan, comedian out of Baltimore, we're talking just shooting the shit. And I figure why this came up. We were talking about comedy beefs, like local beefs. And I said, no, I don't have any beefs. I don't think I've ever had any. And then he goes, what are you talking about? And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, Finazzo, you hated Finazzo. I'm like, no, I didn't. Because I listened to your podcast. By the way, he didn't know me back then. So I'm pretty sure he listened to our podcast. He doesn't know my voice. He hears you, Robbie, your same name, Rob. And he hears you be a dick, and now he puts it on me.
You know who likes Mike Finazzo?
Glitter is still there.
Everybody.
Everybody, right. Yeah. Everybody likes him.
Yeah.
We're the ones that end up looking so bad, and it's Robbie's fault.
Yes.
Robbie's the one who's like, let's just fucking take out this the nicest guy in comedy.
Yeah.
And yeah, that really backfired. But Robbie's still mad. Do you know Robbie's still mad at Mike Finazzo?
He will not get over it.
Still mad.
So,
matter of fact, hold on. If you ask Robbie to explain why he's mad, you'll hear the anger.
Yeah, no, it'll come out.
Robbie, why are you still mad at Finazzo?
Oh, God.
Just because you're a nice guy doesn't mean you have a sense of humor. And he's a comedian.
See what I'm saying? Do you hear it? Scary.
Alleged comedian.
Oh,
see,
wow.
That's what I'm talking about. There he's our producer. That's the type of ire. He's not delicate. He just comes fucking right with the haymaker. What's walk-off music? I don't know anything. I only know eight words, and those aren't three of them.
When you brought up comedy beefs, I think Patrick wanted to say something.
Stop.
No, stop it. We already talked about Cliff Cash. So, and Dan Ninen. So this comedy kumite, Kumite is from the movie Bloodsport, the fictional, you know, karate.
With the guy from Revenge of the Nerds, right?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme. And so it's this cool little show they do where it's eight comics. It's like, you know, it's a bracket. So you have, you do a 5-minute set, and then the crowd cheers, and they have this little app that measures the decibel level, and then whoever wins moves on. So you got to win three matches to win it. Now, I've done it twice before. This now they do two shows in one night because it's successful. But so when I did it, it was just one show each night. So I did one of the very first ones. I actually went on first. Now Chris White, the guy who runs it from the Improv, he warms up the crowd, does like 5 minutes. Well, I went up like super very first, and I, thinking this is like a wrestling vibe, I took the route where I'm going to be the heel. And they introduced me. I'm like, stand up, motherfuckers, get on, show your respect. I'm playing that card, and the crowd's like, this guy's a dick, right? So
Robbie loves it.
I don't do well.
Our middle name isn't Herman.
Right. So I lose.
They're booing you, but that wins because it's so fucking loud.
The other guy's like, what a dick this guy is, and he's crushing. I'm like, all right, lesson learned. So then I do it again, and I'm going up against this Natalie McGill. She's funny, and we tie.
What do you mean, this Natalie McGill?
This Natalie McGill girl. So we tie.
The exact same amount of decibels?
Well, they didn't do decibels then. It was he would just listen. And then so we do another minute or two. Tie again. And then he goes, dance off.
Oh, so you just leave.
Yeah, I think I like grinded. I probably gave her like a Me Too situation. So they saw that and they're like, all right, she wins. So I'm 0-2. So fast forward to Saturday night.
Hold on, you think you gave her a Me Too situation?
Hey, easy.
Let's hear her side of the story.
So I matched up, and I feel like I'm pretty confident. The girl that I matched up against, I've got a lot more experience. I should beat her. And I'm just coming off doing this like thing at the Improv where I was just complaining about the cold and blaming it on Trump, and it's ridiculous, but it was getting laughs 2 weeks earlier in the main room, so I figure it's cold again Saturday. It's just an easy way to get into things. And so she goes up, she does fine. I go up, and I'm like crushing immediately 2 minutes in. So now I feel like, well, I've won this round. So
do you feel good when you crush a woman?
Yeah, I feel good.
Do you feel good when you beat a woman?
Better. And so anyway, I feel like at the end of it, I've totally dominated. So we do the decibel thing, and I win, but not by that much. And I'm like, okay. So then, second round, I go.
You go right back to the weather.
No, I'm going, and I'm no. Actually, I did make a joke about telling a previous joke that I just told. They didn't get it, and then I called them stupid for not knowing that I just called back to a joke that I told 12 minutes earlier. But so now I'm going in, and I'm crushing again. And I'm like, well, I totally have this. The other guy, Chris Allen, goes up. He does fine. We go up. He's like, Chris says, give it up for Rob Mayer. Huge. He goes, oh, you got this.
Should have done the same five.
I should have. He says, you got this. He shakes my hand. He's about to walk off stage. They say, give it up for him. He wins. And I'm like, okay. So then fast forward to the second show, the first round. I crush again. There's a guy in the front row. He's got no socks on. I'm making fun of him. Just whatever. And Umar Khan goes up. He has a good set, but again, I think I won. And they give it to him. And I literally think of the 28 sets combined for two shows. I think I had the three best sets of the night. And I went 1-2.
Well, what is it? What? Why did that happen?
I think, well, a couple things. Because I had people afterwards like, oh my God, we want to come see you. We thought you were the best. And I'm like, well, how come I have a losing record? I'm 1-4 in this thing all time.
I love how invested you are in it. There's nothing.
You know what it pays? No, it pays $25 every time you win.
You didn't get this mad about the money. Comedy Central thing.
Is anybody watching that?
What's Comedy Central? It's not the Improv Lounge. It seats 55 people.
He doesn't have to see the people watching him on Comedy Central.
No, it is.
I love it. It's like people say, I can't come to your podcast today. I'm doing a show in a bar for 12 people.
Yeah.
We all make choices.
It's like, I think it's the psychology of that I'm interested in. Is why
do you think Chris Davis or whatever that guy's name is going to start getting your bookings?
Chris White?
Well, no.
Who? Chris Allen?
You? That's it. Sorry, yeah. Chris.
He's very funny.
I didn't say it wasn't funny.
Yeah, he's probably already getting my bookings. I think
he was good on American Idol. Sorry, guy.
No, I think you have to end with your best joke of the 5 minutes, and you go second. That helps you. It's all recency, because I think. If I'm really being honest, I think because Chris White is in the back with his phone, that back corner is getting, they have to like you more than anybody else.
And you never play well in the back
and
corner.
And I'm dominating the front table. Both times I had the two front tables were loving me. And then
the back corner
was like, fuck that guy.
By the way, you know that all the cool kids sit in the back. They're not. The dorks sit up front. Maybe that's your audience. Comic-Con?
Four blind women. They're not dorks. Oh, right. They were sassy. They love me.
Sorry.
No, it's just, it's funny that I think I've probably had four really good sets of this. The first time was a bomb.
Yeah,
and
I've
won in three.
When have you ever known four women to sit around the table and not know what comedy is?
Do they look like students of comedy?
You know, black women, that's my go-to.
Yes.
They always love me.
Hey, you know what I just found out?
But
there is a show on BET that it's Gary Owen, right? Do you know this?
I know Gary Owen. I don't know the show.
He's married to a black woman. Do you know that?
No.
And they have a show on BET about their lives.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I'm thinking, that's going to hurt you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, J.L. Covan told me I should write that show and, you know, pitch it to Tiffany Haddish and, you know, Koechner will be the father or something and.
No, this is. I think this is a reality show.
Oh, well, that doesn't hurt me then.
Well, no, but meaning what distinguishes you? I mean, you're a white guy.
I don't think anything distinguishes me. Yeah, but I'm not known.
But that does distinguish you. Not a lot of white comics have black girlfriends
or friends, really. Yeah.
Who wants to go through that abuse? Boom.
Robbie is mean of the back.
There was just one.
Robbie is loving you right now. He's so happy.
Yes. He's like, just get a little meaner.
Just kidding, Tawanda.
So, she'll be on the show next week now to retort.
I'll be on another comment.
She'll find a way to find you.
Yeah, good.
She'll somehow, there'll be a call into your room.
This is what we're going to get in a fight about.
Yes.
Yeah, what about before you even get there?
Okay. You know what? I want to go back to this fighting thing. What are we going to be fighting about? Now you said it's Tommy, Patrick, Eric. Eric, there's no fight.
Let's squash all the potential beef that could be now.
Yeah, definitely we'll be scheduling.
Okay, so Patrick is in the room right now. What's the most likely thing that I'll be mad at him about? Or he'll be mad at me, maybe.
Maybe you're reminding him not to forget something about his lines or his cues. Maybe he's dilly-dallying because you have to be over at a certain time to the show in order to prepare, and maybe you need help.
You know what I think we should do? Let me just run this quickly by you.
Sounds serious.
What if when we assign roles to people, somebody goes around before the show starts and makes sure all the roles are assigned and those people didn't leave?
Fucking like horrible idea.
How about that?
I love it. Great idea. Wow, you listen to the show. It's amazing. You've prepared. I feel like he's going to be the most prepared of anyone in the show.
Well, you just said potentially. I'm just saying what
but he's going to know his lines more than Eric and Tommy.
I don't know any of them right now.
That's true.
You have a whole plan.
I've read it over and stuff, but I'll learn them all tomorrow.
No, it's fine.
I'm not worried about it. It's not a lot of lines.
You'll
remember the lines, but that's what Tommy's got a lot more responsibility.
Yes.
Tommy Cimbazzo.
Of course.
So, and I already had him as number one anyway.
But he also has a cheat sheet.
So you said, why would you get into an argument? And I threw something hypothetically that could happen. You go, well, that's never going to happen. Why no? I mean, that's potentially what could be. If there is an argument, it will be over something having to do with organizational or scheduling.
What about the stand-up portion of this? Because maybe a joke will be told that I said not to go down that path.
So politics and I think...
sexual assault.
Religion.
Yeah, even, all the things you talk about.
You don't
want
to make fun of God or politics, probably.
Correct.
Well, there goes your whole act, right?
Or sexual assault. Or gay people.
Yeah.
All the things that are hilarious. Yeah.
You don't have any jokes about... You might have a couple gay references.
You know how your women don't have any rights? Who's with me?
Yeah. Yeah, open with that. That'll go over great. Yeah. And then, well, maybe we'll argue about, because you're going to be constantly trying to interview people for your podcast, you know.
Yeah. Losers have podcasts. Yeah.
Are you going to be doing shows over there?
Yeah. Wow. I want to.
That'll be cool.
Who's going to be your guest, Rob?
Can you get me on?
Hey, Rob, sorry, I can't fit you in.
You're booked. I got Eric Woodworth for both shows.
I figure we'll all do stuff, but it'd be cool to get, like, some of the military people on there, but I just don't know. I'm not sure what they're allowed to do and what
we'll ask.
So we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I think we're going to get along just fine.
No, I gave you a 50% chance.
Here's me in a nutshell. Because I know how reserved and careful you are, I have no intention of, like, really driving you crazy, but now I'm going to be a little more... I'm going to act a little more aloof and crazy just to temper your overcautiousness.
Okay.
And then we will meet somewhere in the middle that's rational.
Okay, that's fair.
So, like, you'll be like, okay, we're going to go out in Kenya, but I want to be back 3 hours before. And I'll be like, we'll be back 30 minutes before, and then we'll agree on an hour and 45 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, that's reasonable.
No, the thing is, I'm only really cautious compared to you guys. I'm not, like, cautious compared to, like, the regular, like, straight-laced 9-to-5.
Or like Robbie.
Drinking stuff. It's not like you're going to go out drinking with us and, like, we're going to find some mischief.
Yeah, like I said. No. 100%. We're going to, in Bahrain.
Well, I prefer you guys not do that.
I'm going to make it Bahrain.
Look, I know how the trip's going to go. In Kuwait, we're going to be limited to what we can do because of the schedule.
Why?
And because it's a dry country.
Day, yeah.
Yes. We get to Bahrain. It's an hour flight. We have that whole day off. And we're only doing comedy shows those two nights. So it's easier.
That's what's nuts is we're in that really nice hotel in Kuwait, but we're gone all day long. Like, you can't go just lay by the beach or whatever. Yeah. Or you can't. Like, because it's like a water resort. It's like on the water and it's like.
Yeah, well, Bahrain will be nice
nuts.
Too.
Bahrain? But then we're busy all day, like, visiting 9 bases a day or whatever.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're going to be busy in Kuwait. But in Bahrain, the first day there, we arrive at, like, noon or 1 p.m. or something. It's an easy one-hour flight, so it's not stressful. We're off all that day, and we're in a nice... And that's the nicest of the countries we're going to be in terms of doing things.
They got an all-female band that looks...
Yep.
They play the clarinet, the flute.
Oboe, I think.
Horn section. I like a horn section.
All the woodwinds.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite clarinet player?
Oh, sucks. When we come back, we'll discuss that. Rob and Joe Show, Clarinet City. Be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
All right. Should we do this? Should we go ahead and make the phone call to one Chris Restivo?
So if you're a regular listener of the show, you know... Chris Restivo's favorite team is the Minnesota Vikings. He's been a diehard fan.
Nobody knows why.
Nobody. He's never been to Minnesota.
He
couldn't find it on a map, but he loves the Minnesota Vikings. And they just had we argued it. Maybe I'm wrong, but clearly
reached the voicemail box of Chris. At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up
or
press pound for more options.
This is the kind of fluidity you get with a producer, eh?
Anyway, they just had arguably the biggest win in their history. Now,
yes.
What Robbie does is he leaves it on so Chris can hear
all this.
But I don't want to do that. I want you to hang up and try him again.
Hey, Chris, we're going to call you back. It's Rob and Joshua. We're going to talk about the big victory. Did you hang up, Robbie?
I did.
Okay.
Well, he's
so let's give it a chance. So it was a miracle finish, probably a top 10 finish in NFL history.
Yeah, top 10.
Maybe top 3.
Given the stakes and then what happened.
From a miracle play standpoint, it's...
I mean, the immaculate reception, what after that?
No, you're right. Just from a one singular, oh my God, play, it's that and the immaculate reception.
If you had heard that Chris Restivo had a heart attack based on that play... Being completely serious, 1 to 100, what's your level of surprise?
Well,
I had a seizure.
Zero surprise.
Well, yeah. No, that's zero.
But his condition?
Reached the voicemail box of...
If I told you 4.5 years ago, what would be more likely?
Chris Restivo has a heart attack.
That Patrick would be the first guest in a house that you and Katie
I like where
owned,
you're going.
Or... Chris Restivo has a heart attack from a thing that he would go crazy over.
Somebody.
Which one?
Somebody's looking for a writing credit.
Yeah.
You want to do my role in the murder mystery? I mean, you totally have me down. But the thing is, it's weird.
We're not answering this question. No, I'm just kidding.
He always goes on Facebook and posts constantly. He didn't post after that. I think he got so angry because they looked like they'd lost by, you know, who would think they could still win. He might have punched the TV. He could have stormed out. No. He could have gotten a fight with someone. He could have gotten his ass kicked. He could have been thrown out of a bar. Didn't post for like 24 hours
later. I said, how hilarious would it be if he killed himself as a result of them blowing this game and he didn't get to see the miracle finish? Maybe hilarious isn't the right answer.
That's the right
He word. Should send...
Joe is a fucking loser.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Just a drop.
He should send the Vikings. You know how, like, when the team wins the Super Bowl, first of all, both teams have on the sidelines, you know, the championship hats and shirts, and then only the winning team gets to unbox those and wear them.
Yeah.
He should send some of those five-plated shirts to the Vikings to have on the sidelines when they win. You bust those out.
That's a great idea.
It's like, what are you wearing, the duck? Oh, I got the eel.
No, the duck and the eel are on the same shirt.
Armadillo.
Best clip art ever. He would lose his mind if he just saw all the team wearing his shirts, wouldn't he? Send them. That's how Oprah, you know, people send stuff to Oprah.
She okay. Talks, Chris Restivo is not Oprah.
Let's tell him that we can do
I'm
that,
I'm saying the Vikings are Oprah, should send your shirts to them so they wear them. Like, what if, like, they stopped wearing Under Armour and they were just like, we found shirts that we really perform well in.
What if Chris was able to sign the NFL to wear exclusively
officially licensed sponsor there?
It makes sense for football, too, because five-plated. You got the arms, the legs,
makes perfect sense.
You're five-plated. You're an armadillo. Padded up.
It's a no-brainer.
You need a producer.
I was talking about how I love the Vikings doing well. I also love them failing. I feel joy both ways. When they were going to horrifically blow this game, that was funny to me.
Yes.
But then when they won it on a miracle, it made me equally as happy.
Yeah.
But nowhere near the joy that I would get if I were to see Case Keenum in a five-plated clothing shirt. They're not even... It eclipses
Maybe you should start life. Making jerseys.
Well, let's if he will answer, I just message him. We can tell him this. Should we tell him that
know
we know someone?
My Vikings jersey has a pirate on it. Yeah, that's all they had. It was the closest thing they had in the library.
Katie knows someone Under Armour who's friends with Stephon Diggs who went to Maryland. It's a believable story.
Yes.
And we can get him to wear a five-plated clothing t-shirt.
I mean,
he just answers the phone. He's very busy.
He's going to hear all
this. It's a big Bitcoin trading night.
Yes. Is it?
He bets football. He only bets in Bitcoin.
Yes.
He's in a Bitcoin sports book.
Wonder he'll take Bitcoin for five-plated clothing.
He was confused about it last time. He was like, yeah, sure. And then Joe said, how do we do that? And he just trailed off.
So. Yeah, he gets confused a lot. So are we calling again? Are we trying one
more
time?
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. Can you... We can't. Can we try again? He might be with his girlfriend.
Because
he still have the girl. He's still dating that girl.
I reached the voicemail box of
Chris.
Chris.
Sounds like he's got his phone off.
Yeah.
It's going straight to voicemail?
Yep.
That information would have been helpful after the first call.
All right. Do we want to talk about this thing that you talked about you and Katie, or is that too...
Yes, please.
Well, all I was saying was that...
Just saying this. Minor little thing.
Now, by the way, I'm not going to buy a ring for Katie with her standing there. I'm not going to do that.
But you went shopping.
Shopping is not the right term.
You went into a store that sells engagement rings together and looked at them.
We did.
All right, you're right. Shopping was way off. All right,
no,
Robbie.
Shopping means that you... When I hear shopping, it means you have intention to buy that day.
Yeah,
agree?
The same way I go into the Ferrari store in the Wynn. You know? Like, there's no... nobody's walking out today with a new car.
But he could afford a ring.
That's true. I can't afford a ring.
I can afford a Ferrari if we're going to use a credit card. I don't know.
Not me.
For a month, I could.
Yeah.
No, but, yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that that's something that's probably, you know, you're looking at it in the next series of months.
Okay. Well, then let's go over... We have Valentine's Day coming up.
Mm. Nah, she's not gonna. That's not gonna work.
When's her birthday?
It's the 23rd, but
of,
she's
of
not,
what?
That's more of
February,
a Starbucks,
next month.
Starbucks gift card type of.
She's not going to allow me to use that. Like it, it's a cop
out.
Okay.
She wants that to be its own holiday.
Right, she will.
That makes sense.
To be.
Other, yeah, it's like getting
By the
married
way, she's
on
never
Valentine's
said
Day.
That, but
it's,
I do
no,
think
you're right.
No, you're right. It's like getting married on Valentine's Day or your birthday or Christmas. It's like, nah, you're not going to get a double down on presents.
Yeah, but there's no present for
forever.
The day you get engaged.
No,
it's not a present day.
Yeah, the ring.
Yeah, but it's still you're going to want to go to dinner. She's going to make this a holiday for the rest of your life.
Oh, I don't agree.
Do
with
you
that.
Have an anniversary coming up? Like the
I mean,
first
yes.
date, the first time you met.
Yeah, it's in February.
Jesus, it's February. Shit, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay, can we get off? All right.
So it's a Black History Month.
That's true. That does add an element to it.
Shortest month, longest.
Hello. So do you have any summer, any spring, any sort of milestone that happened that isn't in fucking February?
Well, no, milestone doesn't matter.
Okay, is there a trip coming up that you've planned?
Well, no, there's no trip coming up. And by the way,
you're never going to get engaged then.
Well,
apparently.
I can get engaged in this beautiful house.
Boring.
We bought. I can go
in Bahrain.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'd like to make it an event, but I don't want to disclose all that. But I'm just saying.
Please propose in a murder mystery.
Oh,
do
yeah.
It.
Hey, listen to this. Listen to this.
The newly dead game.
Listen to this fucking asshole.
All right.
There was a guy.
We're listening.
Do you remember this?
I don't know the story yet.
Yes, you do. He went on stage. The girl went on stage and sat on Santa's lap at our murder mystery.
Yes.
And her wish was that her boyfriend would come and propose to her. He then came up on stage with a ring. But it was the ring of his, like, friend's girl. He was fucking with her.
We thought it was the greatest moment ever.
We thought we were going
to
see a proposal.
I started to record it. I had my phone
so
out.
So did I. And this fucking dick.
That son of a bitch.
He's like, I'm just kidding. Go fuck yourself or whatever.
That's still a great YouTube video.
Yeah, it is.
To get that guy fired and he'll never have a Netflix show again because he hates women.
Oh, I thought that was... I mean, by the way, I was equally as upset that he was proposing at our murder mystery. That's a fucking horrible story.
Thunder
for the
Steeler.
Grandkids, yeah.
Hey, I keep forgetting this story, but I want to tell it. So, I know we got to run out of here, but... So, I like to go to, like, Facebook comedy club pages and look at the stupid reviews that people write and the idiotic things they say. Like, for example, this woman said, you should only serve drinks beforehand because it's very, you know... It's in the way of the show, and that way we could just sit and enjoy the show.
Yeah,
and
clubs would love that.
Right, so it would end every club would
she
go to this.
She gets it.
So I post this making fun of that, and then Chris White from the DC Improv says that, and I don't know how to take this, Joe, that they recently had 2 1-star reviews, a couple, so they each wrote a separate 1-star review, to our murder mystery on Halloween because because they saw that I was on it, they're fans of me, just makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. But then they showed up, and it wasn't stand-up comedy. And so they gave it a 1-star. So the good part, I have fans that come to support me, but B, they're really stupid.
Yeah, but this is the world we're living in. No one knows what anything means anymore. There's no standard. No stars mean anything.
What's walk-off music?
Yes, they're a lot like walk-off
but
music.
But you would think Halloween Whodunit Interactive Murder Mystery would let you know that it's not a stand-up comedy show.
Yeah, these people are idiots, Rob.
So are you
but
happy?
My fans.
Are you sad about
it? I don't know. Because
not anymore, they're not. But also,
yeah, they're afraid when they come to see your stand-up, they'll have to solve a mystery.
Right.
That's like giving, that's like watching Chappelle's stand-up on Netflix and giving it one star because it's not Todd Barry.
Or because it's not The Bachelorette.
That's not what I wanted at all. It's like, well, you could have chose a different show.
But we got their money.
We did get their money. They'll never come back again.
Joe, will you propose to Katie on the podcast, maybe?
Ooh, there you go.
I don't think I will.
Would you on 98 Rock?
He wouldn't even propose proposing to her on the podcast.
No, it's not because it's because of her. I want her to get what she wants. You know, she'll look at these videos of a guy who puts this whole video together, and then at the end, you see him running.
Do I have to be a part of it?
And then he's running into the thing. Like, I have to do something.
You know what she would love? You take her to one of these pizza places where you make your own pizza, and when it comes out of the oven.
You don't know that she likes it. She's never been.
This was we were going to go to one of these places before for dinner tonight, but then when it comes out of the oven, there's a ring right in the middle.
Hey.
And I don't know, something about the oven, if it's a coal oven, the diamond might get bigger. I don't know how science works.
I mean, I'm open to any suggestions at this point. No, but if I'm being serious, like, I am not creative. I can't, like, I can talk, but if I'm, what am I going to do? I can't draw.
Will you do this? Remember back when Scott Apple, we had a contest, we all designed his Match.com profile page. And it ended up, between Robbie and I's work, he found himself a rich wife, a rich woman. And now,
but I won the contest.
Okay,
you
but my point is that he is not creative, couldn't get a date. He used our powers to get this. Would you let us get together and design and plan your proposal?
I would, but if we do it publicly, then she's not going to be okay with it because it wasn't my idea. So we can do that, but it has to be not disclosed. It can't be disclosed afterwards either, because then she's going to be like, well, I heard what happened. That wasn't your idea.
Well, Mac is requesting you do it on the bonus show, Joe.
Maybe that's part of the master plan here. We say you're going to do one thing, knowing she's going to hear that, and then it's just a curveball.
Yeah.
It's like the long con.
Yeah,
it's Ocean's
17. Yeah, you dump her instead.
Yeah.
Here's my new girlfriend, bitch. Bam. Yeah.
If I did it on the bonus show.
The ring's deep in her vagina.
If I did it on the bonus show, she doesn't subscribe.
Well, there you go.
She doesn't pay anybody to
listen
to me.
We do it on the bonus show.
That's right. I'd be like, I've been waiting for an answer. I haven't.
All right. So.
Yeah, you're the one who's dropped the ball here.
Yeah. You don't have a subscription?
So I want myself, Robbie, Patrick, do you want in on this, or you're going
to
not care?
Oh, I'm sure he can't wait to get in on it.
We're going to submit our proposal idea to Joe, and he's going to pick the one he likes the best and do it.
He's not going to do that, though. He's going to read them all, ignore it, and do whatever he wants.
I am interested in what you guys think.
Okay. I'm going to be good at this. You know
what,
though?
Have you thought about it? What you
about
would do?
What you would do to Katie?
I have a better looking guy do it.
Everybody's thinking that. I'm just thinking what everybody's thinking.
I have thought about it, yeah. See, I would be good at this. But if I come up with a great proposal for you to propose to Katie and that happens and Tawanda finds out, like it's over. Not the relationship my life.
It doesn't really have to be this big grandiose. It feels fake because of what you guys do, that you're so public and entertainers and all this stuff. Can't you have a personal moment with a person you love, a real genuine moment? You friggin' clowns. You have to be on all the time.
No.
It's gotta be
yes.
a big thing.
I don't think I have to. I don't believe it's up to me. That's the thing. I think it's somebody else.
What's wrong with a nice dinner and just saying, hey,
I
want to
give her what she wants in this case.
This is what I want to do.
Do you want to continue this for eternity? And just hand her the ring.
I want to then go to Katie and tell her what's happening and then get her to say no. And it's all on video.
On the Jumbotron?
Yeah, on the Jumbotron. No.
Yeah, you do what Congress does and you work in some earmarks. No, you write in some like earmarks to the bit, like, will
fat.
You marry me?
Yeah.
And also agree to
pork barrel.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, some pork is in there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to come up with an idea, and then you're going to propose to her, and then you're going to get married and divorced in 7 years. But it's going to be a good run.
So are you...
You do the thing like when you know they're going to a ball game or something, you just pay the $500 for the proposal on the screen, and then he's sitting there, hubbing, hubbing, hubbing,
just visual.
And then he's got to commit. You got to be like, yeah, I did it.
All right.
Is that special, though? People always... I mean, getting... proposing at the... It's not special.
Do you know there's some ballparks where it costs like thousands of dollars, and there's some ballparks where it's like 25? Like,
well, how would you pay thousands of dollars for that? God, that... If you found out, if you're the woman, wouldn't you be like, couldn't you just bought a better ring?
I mean, okay, I've probably seen 20 proposals at ball games. Do you remember any of them?
No, I've been a part of three or four.
At comedy shows?
At comedy, or yeah, when I worked for the Caps when I was doing the on-ice intermission games.
Did they come out on the ice?
Yeah, I've had a couple that have gone where they've said no, and it was awkward, too.
Oh, that's the best on YouTube. Yeah. You search proposal fail. Oh, it's the best. You'll spend hours. Just sad people's lives being destroyed in a moment. I love the woman who's committed enough to hang out with you for the time being, but the minute you pressure her about the future, it's over. Like, she's like, no, and then leaves. She would have stayed with you two more years if you didn't propose, but you proposed, and now she said no, and it's over. You lost.
Yeah,
you can't
return
the ring.
I would never do that unless I was positive I was going to get a yes. No, do people really?
Who are these really surprised proposals?
Yeah, right.
Like,
I mean, aren't you together
before?
I just assumed every guy does it once the girlfriend has been hinting at it for a long time.
By the way, what a confusing message. You know, we're in a world now where you can't kiss somebody without consent, but I'm supposed to just assume you'd want to spend the rest of your life. I mean, that's way more invasive.
That's like, a good joke.
It's way more invasive.
You just wrote a joke.
I would throw a million away a day.
I'll take it.
We own it now. It's our intellectual property.
Yeah, so, Robbie, Joe, any advice for Patrick and I as we head off to the other side of the world?
Yeah, I do have advice.
Great.
Get your rest.
Okay.
Hydrate.
Don't fight,
yeah.
Valium.
Do well.
There we go.
Learn your lines.
Yeah, we have our mantra is going to be just make it work. There, you know, it's...
Is there any part of Joe that's worried about us going over and sullying the brand?
No.
We ruin the brand, you come back, and this thing just collapses.
There's a part of me worried about Joe and the show back home sullying the brand.
No,
so.
No, I have Justin. I'm fine.
Much true. You have Justin.
All the benchwarmers coming out to do this one.
Rob, there's somebody in chat tonight named Rooting for Malaria.
I like it.
There's a lot more at stake, way more at stake for you guys.
Yep.
Because this could be, you know, and I said this to him. You guys are going to have great shows, but the second show is going to be better than the first show. And the third show, and you're going to keep going until your best show, of course, is the last one that you do, and then you go home. But you just get better as you get more comfortable with the material. And if you're doing that many in that many days, it's going to get really tight. Yeah.
No, we'll probably come back with some new angles and new ways to do it. It's best it's ever been.
Usually the more you do it, the looser it gets.
Yeah. We like loose. I mean, it's pretty loose to begin with.
What'll happen is, I mean, it's what? 40%
was an anal joke. Guys.
Improv, I got it.
Too much.
Improv. Yeah, let me take it more seriously.
There's an anal joke in the murder mystery. You haven't read the rest of the script. Well, thank you, Patrick, for joining us. Thank you for going on this journey with us.
No, it'll be great. Thank you guys for having me. Seriously, like, it's amazing to do to go go to do stand up for the military. Something I've wanted to do for years and years and years. So it's all, like, a lot of my family was in the military. I am too much of a pussy to ever go commit.
Seriously,
any part of
man,
my
you and me both.
Yeah.
Mention that. That'll win them over.
I just plan on wearing camo the whole trip and telling people I'm a Marine because they love that.
They love that shit. Yeah.
They ask for a challenge coin. I just put a Bitcoin down on the table and walk away.
Next week, Joe will be with, well, it's to be determined.
TBD right now.
Yep. Until
it's
then.
Either going to be Gramps or Justin Schlegel.
You have 2 weeks to propose on the podcast.
Later, guys.
Later.
Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.